One of the most familiar pieces that we're all familiar with, that everybody knows it by heart, is the Shoshanas Yaakov. Shoshanas Yaakov is, this is recited twice on Purim, probably sung for days before and during and whatever. And in it, I think, lies a yesod that maybe isn't as obvious in the whole story and in the Megillah, but this is, this was authored by early generations, and basically Shoshanas Yaakov, that's Klal Yisrael, the rose of Yaakov, we're described in a very pleasant terminology. Sohola v'samecha was full of joy. Biroisam yachad tcheles Mordechai. They saw Mordechai yotze b'tcheles, and that was already the turning point. They knew that things were turning around, right? Instead of Mordechai leading Haman was leading Mordechai, and this was already the sign that the sheinenta vivaita, the worst is almost over. And so when they saw Truosam, and then we continue Truosam hoyisam netzach, v'sikvosam b'chol dor v'dor. So immediately the Python here puts this in perspective. Don't just think that Purim was an isolated event. It happened, there was a Maisa, there was a Tzora, there was a Gzera, there was a brink of annihilation that the Jewish people were brought to, physical annihilation. That's what Haman's plan was, and that's what Amalek's been trying to do since Esav and Yaakov, and continuing right through the previous generation, and who knows beyond. So, but this is Chuosam Hoyisa Lo Netzach. You were their source of salvation from time immemorial, eternally. That it's not just an isolated event. V'sikvosam, and their hope, in other words, the one in whom they put their hope, b'cholder of a door, in every generation. So immediately we see here Purim in a context. It's not just the context of a great tzora and a great miraculous saving. It's rather, once again, we had a tzora, as we did and continued to add after that throughout the Golus. We have a tzora, and Shuosam, you were the source of saving or salvation. Sikvosam, and the one in whom we put our hope in every generation. So this is an eternal issue. But then comes a very strange statement. Lohoidia, this comes to teach us shekol koivecha lo yevoishu, that anyone who puts his hope in Hashem will not be embarrassed. Like the Pasuk says, Elokai b'cho botachti al yevoishu. I'm putting my trust in you, don't let me be embarrassed. It'd be very embarrassing if I trust you and then you let me down. My friends will have a heyday, I'll never live it down. It's a terrible embarrassment. Lohoidia shekol koivecha lo yevoishu. Anyone who puts his hope in Hashem will not be embarrassed. V'lo yikol v'lo netzach, and he will not be also a form of embarrassment forever. Kol hachoisim boy, all those who put their trust in Hashem. And chisoyun, the Goyin explains, is a lotion of, like the Pasuk says, tzur chosoyu boy, like a rock in which I take refuge. It's just, you go under and you're protected. It's raining outside, go under the rock and you're protected. You don't have any conditions. They don't ask you how religious you are. You don't have any promises. You don't have nothing. Go under and you're protected. That's what's called tzur chosoyubo. So he says, lo yevoshu lo netzach kol hachoysim boch. Anyone who puts his trust in Hashem will not be embarrassed. The question is, wherein, in the Purim episode, do we see a message of eternal assurance that lehoidia, this is to teach us. In other words, I guess it's what happened on Purim, the miracle, putting it in perspective of in every generation that Hashem helps us, and lehoidia shekol koivecha lo yevoishu. How does that teach that everyone, maybe that generation was saved. Maybe they were worthy of being saved. Maybe other generations are worthy of being saved. But how does it teach us that in this generation, because of what happened to them, now we know that anyone who puts his trust in Hashem will be saved, will not be embarrassed. He will not be let down. That's the question. I think the answer really it can be answered on many different levels, but I think the answer could be relatively simple. And that is as follows, that the truth of the matter is that to be worthy of a miracle is a very difficult thing. A miracle means a change of the teva, turning the laws of nature upside down. Here you had a homon who had the authority of the king signed and sealed to destroy the entire Jewish people, which were in those 127 provinces of Ahasuerus. What could be worse? And Haman would do it. There was no question about his hatred. His hatred for Mordechai went way back, the Chazal tell us. And he has the authority, he has the power, he has the plan, he has the time and place set. Everything's in place. The complete annihilation of the Jewish people is in place to happen. And that was his plan, and that's where he was going. So, like, you had to have a tremendous miracle. And in reality, the Purim miracle was the greatest of miracles. The only thing is, the Goyin explains why it has a certain benefit even greater than blatant and public miracles. And he gives a moshul. He says, a moshul, Purim, because you know the story of Purim, if you read the Megillah, Hashem's name is not mentioned once. And if you just listen to each chapter or each episode, it's like different stories, isolated, unrelated stories. If Vashti lost her job, Esther was chosen, then Mordechai overhears a conversation, and he the whole thing. Before you know it, everything is turned upside down, the Napuchu, and Klal Yisrael is once again alive and well. It's just a set of coincidences. And the Megillah doesn't give us any help in seeing directly the hand of Hashem, because Hashem's name is not even mentioned once in the Megillah. Chazal tell us that when it says HaMelech and not HaMelech HaChashverosh, that it's a hint. Why is it only hinted? Oh, Hashem's name only be hinted? Since when do we only hint Hashem's name? We say Hashem's name all day long. In every tefillah, in every, who knows how many times a day? We make 100 brochas, that's already 100 times. Plus everything else we say, probably in the thousands. You know, so all of a sudden, no, Hashem is not to be found. Very bizarre. So the Goyin, the Vilna Goyin says like this. Says it's a marshal to a king has a son. Son misbehaves. Terribly misbehaves. Ad kedekach, chased him out of the palace. He's wandering aimlessly in the forests that surround this palace. Thrown out, no place to stay, no place to go, didn't know what to do. No credit cards, in trouble. All of a sudden, some ferocious animal attempts to attack him. And out of nowhere, jumps out two, three of his father's guards, and they save his life. Okay. A little bit later, a day later, whenever it was, a group of bandits come. They want to kidnap him and ransom him, and you know, and really, his father's guards are there again, protect him and save him. In a third episode, somebody wanted to attack him, and the father's guards come out of nowhere, it seems, and save him. And this kid stops to think and says, my father still loves me. My father's still there for me. I treated him like no one should treat anyone. And he had to send me out, that's true. But he's there to protect me. He has me guarded. He has his men there. And he turned around and he did tshuva and he reconnected with his father. And the Goyin says that's the power of the story of Purim. The Nisim were amazing. What happened from a state of terrible behavior on the part of Klal Yisrael eating the Suda of Achashverosh until the Gzeres, until the final Venapachu and the Yeshua. Unbelievable Nisim. But he says they were hidden. hidden in a way that we should discover them on our own. Because there's a certain power to discovery, which is even greater than showering with a message. You know, I guess in a sense, if the sun is too bright, you close your eyes. If it's overwhelming, the miracle is overwhelming. It happens. Like, but you know, when it happens in stages, it's not so terrible. It's bearable. We don't have to resist it. It's not so threatening. It's not so overwhelming. It's not so paralyzing. You discover it. I give a marshal, forgive me. Nobody gets scared. But let's assume this room had six doors, okay? And I have a control panel here that can lock the doors, okay? If I were to lock all of these doors at once, you people would get up and the adrenaline would flow, you'd stampede, and you'd break through and get out of here, because what is this Meshuggah trying to do over here, locking us into the room? But I'm smarter than that. So I press one button, just to lock one door. All right, something's going on. What's with this guy? But there's still five more doors to get out. Not so dangerous. Two. Something is very suspicious, but we still got four more doors that we can get out. Three. Oy vey. Now it's getting a little bit nerve-wracking. Like, what does this guy want? Four. Well, there's still two more. By the time you get to the fourth or the fifth, it seems to me that you have this possibility in your mind that you might be spending the night in this room. Like, you know, something's going on, but there's not that rush of getting out of. You sort of get used to it. So it's certain things that if they're too overwhelming, we can't handle it. I'm out of here, I run. But if it's coming slowly, one bit after, that I can handle. Like, okay, I'll have to spend the night. All right, I got the first time I was a little suspicious, second time a little more, third time ready, I had such a thought, the fourth time, it looks like it, the fifth time, by the end, I'm already, I'm finding my place on the floor to sleep. Like, so, Mamela, the same thing, the hidden miracles that we discover, the miracle itself may be much greater. The change of the situation of a gzeirah to annihilate the entire Jewish people, to a venapachu to the extent that Esther and Mordechai were on top, and the Beis Haman and the Shushan and the whole business, it's mind-boggling. But it could be overwhelming if it were presented in a blatant, open fashion, like the sun shining in my eyes. But rather, it's presented, you discover it on your own. Discover it on your own, you get the message. It's powerful, but it's not overwhelming. And if it's not overwhelming, I can learn a lesson from it. I can relate to it. What's the lesson? So I stopped to think to myself, look what went on over here. And I also realize, the first thing we said in Shoshanas Yaakov was, this is not an atypical event. This is an event that has happened throughout Jewish history. This may be the most dramatic one. This is the one that the Chazal were misaken a special yontif for with all kinds of halochas. But this is not an atypical event. We have been saved throughout time. In fact, we are the most unique people on this planet. That we have, not only are we the oldest and have survived for so long, thousands of years, but we've been under the most adverse conditions. No one has been so persecuted. No one has been so homeless. No one has been so exiled from exile to exile. And yet, here we are, just as we were, 3,300 years ago when we stood at Har Sinai, when we went out of Mitzrayim. 2,000 years ago when we were sent into this Golos in the first place, or close to it. So, this has been our history, but when we're able to discover, when we're able to see, when we're not overwhelmed, what do we see? See like that. This generation did some serious stuff. This participation in Achashverosh Suda with the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, with different Avodah Zorah, with who knows what else. I mean, if he asked Vashti to come the way he asked her to come dressed, you could see what must have been going on at this particular Suda. It must have been Avodah Zorah, Medgilei Harayis, and with Shlichas Domim. He killed her too. I mean, it was a wild party, you know. We had no place in being there. And yet, over the course of events, we were saved. So we begin to think like this. You know something? Maybe Hashem doesn't just save us because we deserve, but maybe He saves us because He has Rachmanis. Maybe there's a formula in Jewish survival that says, when you put your trust in me, I'm not going to let you down. And maybe even the acts of tshuva and tefillah and limud ha-Torah that Mordechai did with the children, what do those acts really say? Tshuva really says, I regret my mistakes and I'm turning to you, Hashem, because I'm counting on you. Tshuva, tefillah, all of these things, what are they doing? When a person has a tzorah and he does tshuva and tefillah and stokah, what he's really saying is, I'm counting on you and I'm trying to do something which I was told by Chazal that might be a schus that's going to help me. But underlying it all is this reliance on Hashem. And the reliance seems to be whether or not I'm worthy. Because I don't know if they were all worthy. After what they did wrong there, they did tshuva. Maybe they were, maybe they weren't. But we see, when we look throughout history, when we see this as an example of history, throughout history we know that many times we've been saved when we've been less than worthy. And many people who've been less than worthy have been saved. In fact, most of us are in reality less than worthy for all of the miracles that we have in our lifetime. So we see a lesson. We see Hashem helps people even though they're unworthy. But what's the common denominator? What's the power of powers that enables a person to connect with and to receive that help from Hashem? And that's, we turn to Him. We put our hope in Him. We put our trust in Him. The lesson of Purim is to teach us that anyone can access Hashem's mercy, Hashem's rachamim, Hashem's chesed, by relying on it, by putting his trust in him. Because basically, that's what happened over there. And that's what happened throughout our history. And throughout our history, nobody can make the case that we were always worthy of all of the miracles that we have achieved. In fact, if you want to think about it, and this is just conjecture, but it's very logical, that if we would have been so worthy, we should be out of the Golos by now. We're still in Golos, which means we're not worthy. But yet Hashem is miraculously saving us in every generation. So what's the message? He saves the unworthy. Hashem's rachamim is beyond the conditions of whether I earn it or not. And what is the common underlying factor? That's shekol koivecho lo yevoishu. Those that put their hope in Hashem, they're hoping to Hashem. We're turning to, we have no one else to turn to. And that's really the history of the Jew throughout the generations. The Jew's history has been, he's had no one to turn to. He's alone. We've been alone throughout our history. We're alone today. Israel is alone today. In the United Nations, we're alone. In the court of public opinion, we're alone. In the newspapers, we're alone. And we have no one. We turn only to one. And that's the message, really, I think, that we learn. That's what the Shoshanas Yaakov teaches up, the message of Purim. That when we see these miracles and we discover these miracles and we see them in a way that they're not overwhelming, that we figure them out and we realize Hashem still loves us, like that little prince who realized after his father's gods protected him once and again and again and again, and he had not yet done tshuva. He was not yet worthy. He did tshuva after he realized and discovered all of this. So he was not yet worthy. So you see that Hashem protects even the unworthy? That's the message. Anyone who puts his trust in Hashem, anyone who takes refuge in Hashem, he will not be disappointed, he will not be let down. And that, I think, may be the underlying message of Purim. And that's really where we draw our strength. And the truth of the matter is, the Goyin says this, so we've quoted it here many times. The Goyin says on what we say in Nishmas, he says this in Mishlei, Adheinu azarunu rachamecho velo yazavu mechasodecho ve'al techeinu Hashem elokeinu lonetzach. Until now, he says, azarunu, what you helped us was only rachamecho, not because we deserved it. And until now, mashelo yazavunu, what you didn't forsake us, was only chasodecho, not because we deserved it. And then he says, Lochein anachnu betuchim. He says, therefore, we trust you that you won't forsake us forever. And he continues and says as follows. If what you did for us until now was because we deserved it, then I can't rely on you today because maybe today I don't deserve it anymore. Yesterday I deserved it and today I don't. How do you know? But no, it has nothing to do with our deserving. It's quite obvious we haven't deserved it. It's quite obvious if we would have deserved it, I don't know if you meant it this far, if we would have deserved it, we would have been out of the Golos by now. Yet we find ourselves in the Golos, yet receiving such hashgacha, such protection, such divine providence that it can only be Hashem protects those that are even less than worthy. And once we see that in the past, that gives us the chizuk to say, kol kivecha leivosha, because what's the difference? Hashem's chesed, Hashem's rachamim is a constant. The only thing that changes is my worthiness. But if it doesn't depend on my worthiness, then what's the problem? Nothing's going to change. And we can actually rely on his chesed just as it was, it is, it always will be, it has been, always will be. And the truth of the matter, if you think about it, one of the worst situations that we've had. I think of it, I was actually in Israel at the time, and it still haunts me, during the Yom Kippur War. During the Yom Kippur War, first of all, the Yom Kippur War was preceded by a six-day war. How many years before? 6 years before? Something like that, 6 years before. A six-day war which was the most blatant miracles that one could imagine. The truth is, I'm told that it was really a three-day war. It was 3 days and then 3 days to clean up. Those were just clean-up days at the end. They were just cleaning up the debris. But it was surrounded by enemies on all sides, all ready to attack. Not shy. And yet, there were those, one particular one, who said, without, unabashedly, without any busha, lo hayu nisim. There weren't miracles. Terrible, terrible. And of course, this person, he had his own tragedy a number of years later. But then I remember Yom Kippur night, after we had already covered all the windows, you know, with the blankets and this to blacken it out so that there are planes flying above and they shouldn't see any light in this. Listen on the radio. Golda, who was the Rosh HaMemshala, gets on the radio. She's going to, you know, strengthen her people. And I quote, I remember it rings in my ears so many years later. Betuchim anu bekocho shel tzahal. We have trust in the power of our army. Yom Kippur War was the greatest tragedy in Israeli history. They had more korbanos in that war than any other time. That's lo hayu nisim. After a six-day war, 6 years later, they could say lo hayu nisim. And then when the war breaks, betuchim anu bekocho shel tzahal. That's not the way. The way, our way, our survival has been betuchim anu b'akodesh baruch hu. Betuchim anu b'chesed Hashem. Olecho lecho Hashem kivinu al tachlimenu. V'ani b'chastecho botachti. That's our history. And our history really bears it out because that's the only thing that's kept us going. We turn to Hashem, and our history has been that way. When Klal Yisrael has been connected to Hashem, then they survived. When Klal Yisrael has turned their back on Hashem, so to speak, that's when we have the greatest tzoras. So this is, I guess, all part of this lesson from Purim and the whole broader concept of fighting Amalek. I just want to conclude with a story, but I think that this story has to be a lesson of how this discussion can't be allowed to be a moment of inspiration at best and just fleet, just disappear. It has to be something that we must focus and internalize. We must look at our own lives. We must look at our own survival. We must look at the survival of our families. We must all look back at a family tree that dates all the way back, all the way back, all the way back to the Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, to the Shivtei Kor, to Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. And when we think in those terms, and here we are today, here it's so bizarre, it's so strange. And all of our oppressors and enemies, only two places you find them, in the museums and in the history books. And sometimes in the history books, they're only in the footnotes because they become such insignificant players in the broader picture. But I want to tell you a little story. One of my children in Los Angeles, in her school where she was teaching, they brought a speaker, an Israeli army, retired army man. I guess he wasn't even retired, I don't know. But high up, an officer in the army, and a Baal Tshuva. So he told a story. He says he was on the Suez Canal when the Yom Kippur War broke. He says there were 15 chevra. That was a terrible mistake. They so miscalculated. And mitzad echad, you can say they let everybody go home for Yom Kippur, but pikuach nefesh is doicha Yom Kippur, and they didn't take proper, Anyway, there were 15 of us, he said. And all of a sudden, they see an army of armed Egyptians crossing, wading through the canal. So, and they, the guns, whatever they had, these guys surrender. It's all over. What can we do? All of a sudden, the Egyptians throw down their guns and put up their arms. All of them, the whole brigade, whatever they were, surrendering. And of course, our chevra didn't waste a moment, to take him and everything, whatever. They did what they had to do. And one of them who spoke Arabic asked one of the Egyptians, he said, what happened? Like, what, all of a sudden you guys changed your mind and you surrendered? He says, what are you talking about? Didn't you see the army coming down from the hills to attack us? From all sides they were coming, and tanks and whatever he said. No. Lo hayu. It didn't happen. I don't know what they were smoking that day. I don't know what they were drinking, but it didn't happen. So anyway, so this was the story. Enes, mamish nisim gluyim. This is the story of our history. Bekitzim, my daughter goes over to this guy and she asks him, she says, can I ask you a question? Is this what inspired you to become a Baal Tshuva? He said, absolutely not. Everything remained just the same. Didn't affect me at all. She was a little shocked. So my kids have a little chutzpah. So she says, so what did inspire you to become a Baal Tshuva? So he says, I once was schlepped into, he wasn't religious, into some lecture someplace. And I heard somebody telling over this story. That was me! Whoa! All of a sudden he woke up. And it's so important. When we're caught up in our own lives, we take so much for granted. Things pass us by at such a speed that we don't even notice it. And we can have the greatest opportunities for life transformative chizuk. And it just passes us by. We just miss it. But sometimes when we're sitting back, and that's assuming we're not falling asleep during the lecture, he must have been an interesting speaker, the guy was sitting back in the lecture hall, and just listening, and this guy's telling a story, and c'est moi, that's me. Oh, that's a different story. So I say that we have to be careful. We could read the Megillah, and okay, coincidence stories, Hashkocha Protis, the Ad Hashem, Venapachu, Shoshanas Yaakov, Loidia Shakol Kevecha Lo Yevoishu, and all very nice, and then Purim can pass, and it's all over. That's so sad, because we have the opportunity to develop such a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and such a sense of the ability to put our trust in Him. But we have to work on it. It doesn't come, naturally. It's work. It's effort. It's focus. And I guess when we hear the Megillah
And then when we sing the Shoshanas Yaakov after, if we pay attention to what's going on, and we open our eyes and we let it penetrate, and we know it's not too bright because it's not all coming at once like the bright sunlight. It's a process of discovery throughout the Megillah. But when we let that happen, it can be an opportunity for such chizuk that can literally have a transformative effect on our lives. And we'll learn that message. We'll learn that lesson. Lohidia, shekol kivecha lo yevashu. All those that hope to Hashem will never be embarrassed for that hope. V'lo yikol mulo netzach, and will never be disgraced for eternity. Kol hachoysim bo, all those who put their trust and reliance in Hashem.